your Bible and turn to John chapter 7. In John chapter 8, Jesus makes some claims that are remarkable. And the last claim is over the top. There's lots of things I like to think about this claim, and we're aware of when he says, "Before Abraham was, I am." But it's kind of hard to put your mind around that thought and that moment when he says this. And yesterday, I was down to see Sam and Julie and granddaughters, and they had a birthday party for two of them. And so my youngest son, Sam, asked me about Don Patton. He preaches, he lives down in Arkansas, at least he did, and Don has done a fair amount of teaching on creation evolution. I've listened to some of his lectures, been in his house by chance one time, and I'm going to show you that in just a minute. But when we were there at the party, there was another young man there also, and he heard that Don Patton has made a claim that he has a piece of Noah's Ark. And he said that to me, he asked me about Don Patton, and I thought, that claim to actually have a piece of Noah's Ark, I think he might have misunderstood. And so I did a little bit of research, and that's not exactly what Don Patton is claiming, because if you claim that, you would actually have to quite well support it. So let me just put it up there. Here's Don Patton, and he is right now doing a meeting in this shot here. It's on YouTube. They got about 3,000 views, 2019. It's out in Washington. If you know Brent Hunter, it's where Brent Hunter is preaching out there, is when Don has done a lecture. And I thought he did a great job on a lecture. Most of the time when I've heard Don, he does a really good job, and he has his education in archaeology. So as I'm listening to this, we got invited over to his house one time. We wanted to see part of his apartment, maybe it's a condo, I don't know exactly what it is. It's like a museum when you go into his place. He's pretty eccentric. He's kind of like a maverick in some ways. He's got a lot of pictures of where he's been, some dinosaurs as he talks about it there. Right? Anybody has that in their living room, you realize, you know, he's not your normal person. But I really enjoyed being around Don. And this young guy here, I wish I remembered his name. I'd forgotten his name. But he is from Egypt. There was a lady in, it's either North Carolina or South Carolina, who was in a Bible correspondence course with this young guy for about 2 years. And when she heard that Don was going to Egypt, he was going to go to Egypt on one of the tours, she tried to connect Don and this young fellow because he wanted to be baptized. I just want to think about this. Think about making the arrangements of being in Egypt, a Muslim country, baptizing somebody who's a Muslim in a Muslim family, and try to working that out. So the boy was telling us that the first day he arrived, he went to go see Don, and she had set it up, and so he arrives and they talk a little bit, and Don does his tour, and nothing happens. And Don kind of off the side says, "Tomorrow you bring your swim trunks?" And he didn't really know what was going to happen, so he does, and they find a spot, and he actually was baptized in Egypt. Becomes a Christian. He comes to Florida College for a couple of years, and at the end of his stay, his visa was running out, and he didn't know what was going to happen. He didn't even want to tell his parents about being a Christian because of the honor killings. He didn't want to put their lives in jeopardy, but he didn't know what to do. And I hate to leave you hanging, but I'm gonna. I don't really know what the end of the story is. I'm hoping maybe at some point I'll find out what it was. But it was really one of those heartbreaking moments. But Don, in most of the things I got to research, and I didn't get to research as much as I wanted. It was just yesterday. But he has several videos showing people who have claimed to have a piece of the ark are fakes. And he does a really good job with that. You can go to several different sites seeing where he shows that the people who claim to have a piece of the ark, that they've not really been truthful. And he's done a good job at that. So he knows all about evidence and how to follow it up. And he's actually been to Mount Ararat several times in hikes and thought he'd found the very spot. He's done a great job on research. Josephus, in his day, in the first century, claims the ark was still visible. He claims that people have taken pieces of the wood from the ark and they keep it with themselves and they think it's going to, you know, do them. People always think it's going to give you special power, you know, something like that. And they've taken it. So Josephus names that. So Don Patton does a real good job, and they bore down about 40 feet into the glacier, and they come up with some wood, and it's the possibility that they found a piece of the ark. But let me ask you, if you're going to make this claim, he does the interviews. He's interviewed people who have said they've seen the ark, they've drawn pictures, and a lot of the pictures are consistent. So it may well be there, may be very valid. Right now it's in a glacier that's not going away. Actually, it's accumulating. It's going the other direction. So the claims, though, if it be true, just because you have a piece of wood, it could be a piece of a tree, it could be a house, it could be a cart. You could have all kinds of pieces that he drilled down 30, 40 feet into and gotten, then not be the ark. You'd really need to have the dimensions, right? The 300 cubit by 50 cubit by 30 cubit, the three different tiers, the three different decks. You would, to use this for any kind of skeptic, you'd really have to show and demonstrate about the ark. And that's not been done, at least not to my knowledge. But it's very possible that Don is onto something there. My last point, I want you to say this. Doesn't have to be published. I mean, if you actually heard of the ark, wouldn't it be published? Wouldn't somebody write a book and demonstrate and catalog and give evidence? Wouldn't that have to be the case? Well, I would say that it would. For me to believe it, for you to believe it, you would need to have some documentation on that. Now, why do I bring that up? I bring that up because the claims that Jesus makes in this section that we're going to read is far more outlandish than what someone said, Don Patton said, that he has a piece of the ark. The claims that Jesus makes, he says in this chapter, I am the light of the world, and to follow his light, like the light that was over the tabernacle. It's a light to be followed. He made the claim, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. That's twice in verse 21 and verse 24. He made that claim twice. You're going to die in your sin. He's made the claim, you're seeking to kill me. How many audiences have you ever spoken in front of that you know they're trying to kill you and you tell them about it? I know you're trying to kill me. You're seeking to kill me. Well, he's made that claim, and you know what? At the end of the moment, he's exactly right about that claim. They were seeking to kill him. And any misstep, they grabbed the stone at the end of the chapter. Any misstep, they thought it was a misstep. I'll say it that way. If anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. They come to Jesus. Who do you make yourself out to be? Who are you saying you are? Who makes this claim? Abraham died. The prophets died. And so that raises the question, what are you claiming about yourself? And in the Gospel of John, I'm so glad John has this chapter, because in the introduction, the first 18 verses of the Gospel of John, John made the claim that he is the creator, that everything has been created through Jesus. Now, that's a high claim. And John shouldn't claim that unless Jesus has claimed it for himself. In this chapter, he claims that for himself. And then the last one, before Abraham was, I am. And it's in Jerusalem. It's in the temple. He was in the treasury earlier. He's in the very heart of Jerusalem when he makes that claim. And I want to bring that up and highlight it at the end. Let's read Jesus a little bit. Would you read with me a little more than we normally do? Start at verse 40, John chapter 8. But as it is, you're seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God, this Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father. They said to him, we are not born of fornication. We have one father, God. That's interesting that they've made the claim that they are from God. 42. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I have proceeded forth and come from God. For I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. Now, in 43, before I go on, let me say, when he says you cannot hear my word, I think basically what he's saying, you cannot accept what I'm saying. They will quote him word for word just a minute. So they're hearing every single word that Jesus says enough to quote him accurately in just a few minutes. So they're hearing the words, but they're rejecting the claim. 44. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature and is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak the truth, why do you not believe me? It's an incredible claim to know in front of his enemies, which one of you convicts me of sin? Nobody could convict him of sin. He stood there right in front of his enemies. He laid it out in front of them. 47. He was of God. Hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them because you are not of God. The Jews answered and said to him, Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. But I do not seek my glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, will never see death. The Jews said to him, now we know you have a demon. Abraham died, the prophets also. You say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death? Surely you're not greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets died too. Whom do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. And you have not come to know him, but I know him. And I say that if I do not know him, I will be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. Therefore they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. The claim that God stood before them in the temple, in the flesh, that he existed prior to the days of Abraham. The Jews knew exactly what he was saying, and that's why they picked up stones. Now, that's the claim. What does he have to back it up? Well, in the area of Jerusalem, understand what he's going to claim. He's going to be worshipped by a blind man. A blind man that he opened the eyes of. The Jews knew the blind man, and they called the parents of the blind man to confirm that he was born blind, that this is the right guy. And it's indisputable. They can't deny it. So the evidence was right there. I asked myself this question, and there's a book out by Bart Ehrman, and he tries to put down Christianity left and right all the time. And he's made a lot of money writing books. But he has a book out from How Jesus Became God, and he tries to say this was a development as legends grow and grow. Well, obviously, if he claims to be God in this chapter, he didn't become God. He was God the whole time. But it does raise this question. He makes a good point. In the sense, if you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the synoptics, he doesn't claim to be God very strongly in those books. He doesn't. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke have the ministry of Jesus focused up in Galilee. John, on the other hand, focuses so many of the conversations that took place in Jerusalem. What's Jesus doing in John 8? He's publishing. He's publishing. They say between 10%, and yesterday I read 30% as the highest guy I've heard so far, literacy in the first century. Anywhere from, that's pretty low, from 10% to 30%. Not legible reading. So how do you publish when people don't read normally? You have to speak it. Where are you going to speak it? You have to speak it publicly, openly, where they can test it. What's Jesus doing? Tammy first. We were coming back from Mississippi, crossing the line of Tennessee into Kentucky, and it said Podunk, Kentucky. It's one of those. She laughed. I laughed. It's a little spot. You don't even see a town there. But it's called Podunk. What would you say if you made a claim in Podunk, Kentucky? That's not like Washington, D.C. Jesus is not making the claim of being deity up in Galilee, in some podunk place in Galilee. Where is he making the claim? In Jerusalem, in the temple, he's publishing. He's making it known. This is not being said in secret. And if it's going to be tested, it needs to be tested publicly, openly, here. What's he going to do? He's going to die, he's going to be buried, he's going to be raised. Where? In Jerusalem. Right in front of that society. And they will see an empty tomb, and they will hear the apostles say, we've seen him, and the world has changed forever since then. Jesus didn't make a claim, a little claim of having a piece of the ark of Noah. He's made the claim of being God. And he is. And he's the one we're following. And we don't have to die in our sins. We're following one who made an outrageous claim, and then he proved it, that he is God. I'm glad, Harold, you led us, and I'm happy today. And I'm happy today, too. We're following one who created us, and he redeemed us. And he's going to take us home one day. I hope you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian, and you desire to be so, let your request be known. And if you need help in any way, and you're struggling with faith, let that be known. Come forward as we stand and as we sing.